today on Real Radio.
Does not God want to move in this church and in your life? Yep, act like it. Does he not want to save the lost that are out there? Yep, act like it. Don't wait for some pixie dust to fall from heaven. Don't wait for Tinkerbell to do it. Listen, we got to obey. We obey, God shows up.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Heading for Home, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter's approach was patient and loving, but here in the book of 2 Peter, well, Peter knew that his time was limited and much was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is really straightforward: to combat the false doctrines and teachers of his day. Now, in chapter 10 of 2 Peter, our thoughts are focused on home. For the Christ follower, our home, well, it's in heaven, and it's where we want to be. And that's why Peter challenges us to be even more diligent and more determined to increase our efforts in sharing the gospel. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God knows those who are his and those who are not his. It's not that he picks and chooses, it's based on his foreknowledge. He knows in advance who will accept him and those who will reject his gospel of salvation. And now in his message called Heading for Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us from cover to cover that the doctrine of election, meaning God chooses, is based upon God's foreknowledge. Please, my dear friends, do not let anyone ever begin a conversation with you regarding and starting at the doctrine of election with the word election. You must start with the doctrine of election, who God chooses, based upon his foreknowledge. It's based on God's foreknowledge that he has elected those. You see, what does that mean? Look, putting it bluntly, God knows those that are his. He knows those who are not his. But don't assume for a moment that God says, let's see, heaven, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I don't like you, but you get to go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's not what he does. That's not what he does at all. God doesn't say, you know what, this section, just by fiat, you go to heaven. This section, you go to hell. Over here, heaven, that group, hell. It doesn't work that way. How do you know, Pastor? I know absolutely, because of the word foreknowledge. God, in his foreknowledge, knew from eternity past those that would be his and those that would reject him. So the book of Romans comes along and tells us that God knows those who are vessels to honor and those who are to dishonor, based on what? His foreknowledge. Think of it. It makes perfect sense. God knew, because he cannot learn a thing, that the day that you would be presented the gospel, you would choose the gospel. You would respond to the gospel. God knew before Jupiter was ever flung out into space that Susie would say yes to Jesus. He didn't make her say yes to Jesus. He knew she would when the invitation went out. Who gets the credit for Susie being in heaven? God does. Why? He provided the way of salvation, didn't he? Does Susie get any credit? None at all. She says, thank you, God, for saving me. What about Bubbles, who winds up in hell? How does she get there? If your name's Bubbles, it's nothing personal. How did she get there? She heard the same gospel, and she said, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. That's why Bubbles is in hell, and she knows why she's there, and thus God, who is righteous, hell is justified, because she didn't want anything to do with him. And so the Bible says that's where she goes. She would not accept the salvation gift that God was pleading with her to take. Quick, take the key before time's up. Take the key. She wouldn't take it. Time expires. And by default, mankind descends to hell. The Bible says we're all condemned. The Bible says we are all under the yoke of sin and its death grip until Christ sets us free. Christ sets us free when the moment the gospel goes out and God, by his grace, that spark is made. We see, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. We don't get any credit for responding to that. He provided everything. So we're in heaven saying, God, thank you for saving me. And Bubbles is down there saying, why didn't I listen to people? You see? All based on God's foreknowledge. He predestines. The doctrine of election. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those, here's the qualifier, to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we're talking about. That he might be the firstborn or the preeminent one among many brethren. In other words, Jesus is our forerunner. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Notice it's all in the past tense, friends. And those who justified, these he also glorified. That's your life. If you're trusting Christ as Lord and Savior today, that's who you are. Focused on the goal. You see, listen, I'm confident that it's smart for me and you to put every effort into walking with Jesus now. Why? Because the goal is assured to me, to you. We're going to heaven. It's not a guess. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. How awesome is that? I have found something to be true. Listen, please listen. I have experienced whenever I talk to a Christian who's very insecure about their salvation, they have no assurance. I have also noticed that they have a very, very low commitment to devotion to God. Very, very anemic Bible reading. Very, if at all, prayer. Weak fellowship with other Christians. They may be born again. They may be going to heaven. But they have no deep assurance. Why? Because watch. They've never taken that salvation out of the garage and drove it around town. You say, yeah, but things could get bumped. Tough. Yeah, but if I take it out of the garage, it could get scratched. Right on. Yeah, but if I take it out of the garage, I'll have to drive it and change the oil and do the tires. Yeah. Drive it. Christianity was built to get out there. Listen, if we park it, nothing happens. And because nothing's happening, we don't see God moving. And when we do not see God moving, we don't have any insurance. We don't have any confidence because we don't see God's power in action. That's why this study's themed combat faith. It's very powerful. Make every effort, focus, keep your eye on the goal, focus on that. And then look at the word sure here in your Bible. The word sure here means to be tested or confirmed. It means that when you take it out and when you put it into battle, or when you take it out and you put it on the track, it's actually confirmed that it is what it is. I guess, listen, what I'm saying is you can have, you know, it's Veterans Day. Maybe I'll keep in this genre. Did you know that part of the World War II information war, did you know that England, for example, had hundreds, if not thousands, of cardboard, plywood tanks put out all over areas out in the battlefield? Did you know that? You say, Jack, did you say cardboard? Yeah, they were all fake. They looked real. But they were fake. But listen, when the Nazis flew overhead and looked down, It scared the snot out of the Nazis because they thought they were real tanks. Did you know that? We had fake airplanes sitting on runways so that when the enemy would fly over spying to see what we should do, they thought, oh my goodness, they got 40 bombers over there. Somebody could have blown on them and knocked them over. But look, that's not what we're talking about. Decoy, the pilot that got in the real plane. Can you imagine the poor pilot jumping into the cardboard plane? Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Let's do it. Dude, you need more than that. You need to get into the real thing. And he jumps into the real thing. And it comes alive. And he's able to do something with it. Does it get dirty? Does it get shot at? Does it get holes in it? Yes. What happens to that pilot at the end of his mission, at the end of his sortie, when he returns back home and lands? Does he jump out of the cockpit with victory and yeah, awesome. Is he grimy? Is he dirty? Is he shot at? Yes. But is he completely blown away at what just happened? Yeah. Because he put it to use. Christianity is to be put to use in the world around us, in the world that you're deployed in, wherever you go. And so that word sure means to be certain. It is God's will that the Christian be certain of his or her salvation, not wavering. Again, if you're wavering, start using it. Put it to practice. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So wait, if I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ, why can't I just sit in the back here and eat cupcakes and I belong to Jesus? Why go to war? Because you belong to Jesus. You and I, as you often know, this whole world has been sold under the domain of Satan. He's robbed it from our mom and dad, Adam and Eve. And we're involved in this epic battle now with truth. Isn't it amazing? Aren't you happy to be alive right now? I mean, the battle, isn't that, it's amazing? The battle right now all around the world is all about truth and false. Isn't it fantastic? Don't get bogged down in the images and the pictures of people and all that stuff. It's a battle between truth and false. What's true and what's a lie? It's an amazing time to be alive. Wow. But that verse goes on. Look, it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine a soldier being deployed into battle and he brings with him his Lego set? He's not distracted. There was a time for Legos, not now. You know what it means to be armed to the teeth? Do you know where that came from? It came from the pirate era. You know, the pirates, you know, Jack Sparrow, the pirates. And to be armed to the teeth, you're like this and you're getting ready to go into battle. And you've all seen this with shows. You know where the guy's taking out he takes out the pistol out of his boot. He takes out the knife out of the other boot. He takes out this other knife out of his underwear, takes a knife out of his hat. He pulls out a sword from behind his back. He's pulling this. There's a knife in here and there's a knife there. And he's just putting stuff on the table, right? It's all of that. To be armed to the teeth is to have all that. You got all the armament. Like, oh my gosh, where you go? Where you go? Here you go. Okay, I'm set. Okay. Oh, I still got a knife left here on the table. I got it. Okay, let's go. All right, let's go. That's being armed to the teeth. Completely ready to take on. That's what the soldier does. And he doesn't fiddle around with the things of this world. It also says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned, laurel wreath in the Greek games, unless he competes according to the rules. Paul goes on to say, run in your event to win it. I love that. Next, church, we see this. Look at verse 10. We're going home. It's where we want to be. So we focus on the road. For if you do these things, you will, what does it say? What does it say in your Bible? You will what? Say it. If you do these things, you will. Say it again louder. Never stumble. Does that sound pretty confident? What? That didn't sound confident. Come on. If you do these things, you will never stumble. That's what it says. That's what it says. That's why Jack, who's a weakling, Jack, who's a wimp, Jack who needs courage, Jack who needs the power of God to show up, Jack who needs his healing. I'll say, Lord, you said that if these things are going on in my life, you didn't say how to what percentage. That virtue, that knowledge, I'm doing the best I can, God. I'm pouring myself into trying to know you more. Yes, I could pray longer. Yes, I could read more. But Lord, I am praying and I am reading. And I'm asking you now to be merciful and gracious to me, because you're the one that told me, if I do these things of verses 1-9, I will never stumble. Jesus, that's what your word says. And I'm looking to you to fulfill that in my life, because I cannot do that on my own. You know what? I'm just filled with confidence knowing that God just heard me say it, but I was saying it to you as an example, and I'm getting stoked thinking about it. Why? Because he will answer that prayer. I don't need to stumble. I won't stumble unless I choose to stumble. And that would be dumb. Keep your eye on the road. The word do here is an amazing word. It means to act it out. Isn't that interesting? Act it out. By the way, in a moment, you're going to see that the verbiage used here is regarding a theater performance. You see, this is odd. My goodness, he goes to all these things and battle stuff and all of this. And to a what? A theater? But listen, not so much the actors as much as you'll see in a moment regarding those who provide for the show, those who provide for the lighting, the stage, the drama for the actors. When it says do here, it means act it out. What's fun about this, I used what the Lord was laying on my heart in study. I'm very happy about this because I love when God gives these little gems. And I gave it yesterday to thousands and thousands of men at the Anaheim Convention Center. It was so many, so many men. And I was preparing my message, and this is how God speaks to me. I've never heard, Jack, this is God. Write this down. It's just it's a line of thought that's not normal. And in my message, and I wanted to encourage the men about revival, and I felt so strong, the Lord speaking to my heart. Stop talking about revival. Stop it. But Lord, we need revival. Stop talking about revival. But we need revival. Stop talking about revival and act like it's here. And I listen, it was, that's God talk. You know, that's him speaking. That's right, Lord, because we need to pray for revival. We need to pray that God would move. We need to pray that people get saved. And God's going, uh-huh, yeah, yeah. You can go now. Listen, does not God want to move in this church and in your life? Yep, act like it. Does he not want to save the lost that are out there? Yep, act like it. Don't wait for some pixie dust to fall from heaven. Don't wait for Tinkerbell to do it. Listen, we got to obey. We obey, God shows up. We don't need to talk about revival. We need to act like it's here. And I believe God will pour it out. That's the word do. The word is that you're going to show up, because behind the scene, we'll see in a moment with the word supplied, behind the scene is an underwriter, the word means, to fund the entire play, lighting, stage, music, script, uniforms or outfits. You show up, watch, you get dressed, you've got the script, you stand there and you say what has been given. God takes care of the lighting. He's prepared the script. He'll stack the audience and he'll do it all. And what's our role? And it's so God, it's so funny. He pays for it all. And we're the ones that wind up getting the award at the end. Oh, thank you. I'd like to thank my mom and my dad. You know, all this stuff. And somebody else paid for it all. God pays for it all. And he invites us to show up. It's absolutely awesome. Keep your eye on the road, though. You got to keep your eye on what's happening. Keep your eye on that. Don't waver. Don't waver. Coming down from Sacramento the other day, it's kind of terrifying, driving down I-5, Interstate 5. Satan invented that highway. Because you're driving, you know, it's not very wide. Two lanes. Southbound. And 18-wheelers on that road. And you're like this. And you're watching. I don't know about you, but I'm watching the road. And I'm watching the 18-wheeler. Because those poor guys, God bless them, those men and women, we need to love on them and pray for them. You could, right in the middle of the daytime, which is maybe sometimes the most dangerous. They just start drifting and they start getting over close to the dirt side of the road. And you know they're sleeping because they jerk back and get it. And you're like, oy vey, this is the, heading home. About ready to get run over by an 18-wheeler going home. Jesus, here I come. On I-15 or I-5. And what happens? They get their eyes, listen, they glazed over, whatever. They're tired, fatigued. Christians can get like that. You lose hope. You lose vision. You lose passion. When you're weary, get your eyes off the goal. Heaven is the place where we're going home. And that's vitally important. Keep your eye on that road. God supplies it all. We just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. We don't act any other way than the way he wants us to act. You say, Jack, I don't like that. I'm offended by you acting. It sounds hypocritical. Oh, stop. Listen. Are we all adults in here right now? Okay, so here's the deal. If you're not married, just put your finger in your ears and hum to yourself or something. Just block this out. But listen, to those of us who are married, Christianity is very much like being married. Okay, listen. There's times when cuddling, wrestling, what do you want to call it? You'll find out in marriage that it's not often the two of you are in the same wavelength. And if you wait around for all the stars to line up, it might take another decade or two. And that's not God's will. Well, the men know that's not God's will. So what happens? I mean this sincerely, and it's biblical. Listen, sometimes you have to go through the motions. Sometimes you have to do what's right, then your heart kicks in. Then things start to happen. That's important to remember in your Christianity. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like going there. Just do the right thing because there's a great supplier, the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Heading for Home. We're glad you joined us today, and you know, our prayer is that you keep yourself sheltered in the arms of a loving God who's already prepared a place for you in heaven. Heading for Home, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, like Pastor Jack said, we need to be absolutely certain of our relationship with Christ. It's why Peter kept sharing the gospel over and over again. Heaven, it's for real. And we want as many people as possible to go there. Peter's heartfelt testimony inspired generations of people to follow Jesus. But if you're perhaps still wondering what that all means, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, that's at jackhibbs.com. Look for that tab that's titled Know God, spelled out it's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll discover the truth of what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not here by accident. And God really does have an amazing plan for your life. Again, you'll find the answers you're looking for when you click on that tab labeled Know God at jackhibbs.com. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.